with you, it's going to be Luke Jokel. What have you seen from him from the limited tape you've had a chance to, and how do you develop a young left tackle in this game?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at it on film, you know, you see a bunch of young guys up there, which is exciting. You know, sometimes you take over a position in a unit, and sometimes people are set, you know, in their ways, and, you know, it's always challenging from that aspect. But I really like the foundation, you know, that some of that, that, you know, obviously George Yarno did a great job of getting a foundation with young players. Luke took over last year. I thought he did a good job, and I think I've come in to take them to the next step. So they all have ability, you know, quick feet, things of that nature, and that's what we're doing right now, trying to study it and trying to get something together that best suits what they can do. Obviously, we all come from different backgrounds, but at the end of the day, you have to do what the players do well, and that's really the process we're in right now, trying to figure that out.
You obviously had a chance to look at Luke when you were at Buffalo and he was coming out of the draft. Can you remember what you thought of him then?
Really, really liked him. You know, at the time we weren't, you know, we weren't in a position where we were looking to draft, you know, a left tackle. But I thought movement skills, foot speed, technique. I had known his line coach and worked with his line coach who he had at A&M. So I had a lot of good background on character, which is outstanding, which is always important. So we saw all those things that I think that obviously a lot of teams in the league were able to see, and I think that's why he was drafted so high.
Doug, Mike Dempsey, 1010 XL Radio. When you left, we heard a lot of secondhand reports that players felt upset. They felt like you had quit on them in Buffalo. How important is it for you now to connect with the guys on this team and explain that situation so they have the right or the perception that you want them to have of you and how that all went down?
Well, I think, you know, I think what you said before, it is perception, you know, that's out there. The coaches that we were with, the players, I don't agree that they feel that way. That was put out there. You know, I had an opportunity that was in the contract to opt out. You know, Terry Pegula and Kim, I think, are going to be outstanding owners. I had two great years there. The people in the organization were outstanding, you know, to me and my family. My family and I made a decision to opt out, and it brought us here. So for me, you know, when I look at it, you know, it was a decision that was made. But when people start putting in things like quit or things like that, that's not the case at all.
How would you, so the average fan is going to say there are 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. You have one. How do you give that up voluntarily? I understand you had that in your contract, but how would you answer that to fans who wonder why you would give up that opportunity?
Well, I think in a lot of those conversations, you know, that occurred, you know, in a short period of time, in 3 days there was a window there, you know, private conversations. There are things that, you know, people are looking for. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was the best situation for both parties.
Doug, Frank Frangie, to that end, you've been a head coach a bunch of places. Gus must have used the word humility 3 or 4 times to describe you, and he said that got his attention, that you've been a head coach in college, you've been a head coach in pros, you were up for some jobs, yet you didn't come here like a guy that is a step above these other assistant coaches. No. That really stood out to him. Speak to that, but that's got to be kind of hard, doesn't it?
No, I don't. I think for me and my background, one of the things I've always thought about this profession, and you get into it, it comes in and a lot of people want to be a head football coach. And there's some great advantages of that. You're able to have a culture, a philosophy that you can put forth in a whole entire organization. But as you're doing that and you understand that, one of the things that we've all gotten into this industry for is we all started out as assistant coaches. And one of the things I know that I had missed as I was moving up was, you know, leaving that line room or leaving that offensive room. And it was always tough. And I had to manage myself quite a bit to stay away from, you know, those areas that you love. So for me, it's exciting. You know, I never looked at myself by title, whether it be coordinator or by coach. I've always looked at myself as a coach, you know, someone that can take someone where they probably can't take themselves, not just on the field, but off the field as well. So, you know, even when I came down and, you know, during the interview process, I said, listen, I want to interview. I mean, I want to sit down. I want to go through, you know, the schemes and how we teach people and do those things. That's what I love. So For me, I've always thought of myself as that. And when I was in other roles, I tried to make it where titles, you know, weren't part of the culture. That, you know, really at the end of the day, the title just says, if you can't come to a decision, then the title takes over for the decision. But a lot of times, in reality, that doesn't happen very often.
Gus talked about wanting to keep primarily a zone kind of running scheme because they drafted for the athletic type of lineman. In Buffalo, correct me if I'm wrong, you've had one of the heaviest offensive lines in the league the last couple of years. Is this, for you, philosophically, does it matter, zone, gap scheme?
No, I mean, when you look at it, you know, and you go back to my background, you look at, you know, New Orleans, you know, we were big inside but very athletic on the outside. But this probably is more similar to my experience when I was with the Jets. Excuse me. We had a lot of athletic guys in there, you know, did some things. And actually, you know, I've gone back and looked at some of that tape that we've had along with the tape that's here now to try to incorporate those type of things. There's no doubt that I really do like the foot speed, you know, overall of the players here. So, again, you know, we're not trying to, you know, pound around circle into a square. I don't think that would be the right thing to do. So, you know, we're in the process now of, you know, with Greg, myself, the rest of the offensive staff of looking at, you know, what do we need to do to be successful? How can we put these players in the best position possible? And, you know, whether it's outside zone, inside zone, tossing the ball, things of that nature, you know, we'll have a library of plays, but, you know, we'll start to focus in on them once we start working with them. I think when you come in, it's very difficult. You know, people say you can watch tape, you know, and see exactly what's going on. But until you really start working with players, you really don't know. And, you know, I think we can see things on tape, you know, and have a good feel, but to actually make decisions where you're going to move forward in the future, I think a lot of that will come once we start working with them when the OTAs start up.
This may be too early with what you just said to ask this question, but this offensive line last season obviously struggled in both run blocking and pass protection. When you take a look at some of the things that need to be fixed, is there something that jumps out as number one priority heading into this year?
Well, I think, like you said, it's just a daily development, you know, and you have to you can't work on one thing. You know, so you're going to have to work on all of those things that you just said to daily improve, to get yourself better. And then, you know, you can do it. You know, right now I'm sure the players are working hard, you know, trying to get their bodies back and things of that nature. And then they'll come into a phase one program where it'll be a lifting program. The players, you know, are obviously will come in shape, you know, ready to go. And then we'll start building that foundation as early as we possibly can. You say those things, but we all know at the end there has to be a carryover and you have to have the success on the field. So overall, we're not looking at one specific thing. I've always tried to develop the whole, you know what I'm saying, and start from the ground up. So we start with, you know, basically footwork first. Then we start with, you know, some striking drills because, you know, we're in a position where we strike people. And we talk about body position. But one of the things I was very excited about, I think one of the hardest things to coach is finish. And, you know, I thought that the players here that played did a heck of a job trying to finish plays. So I think that's the hardest part to coach. Now, the rest of it, you know, the technical stuff and stuff, I'm excited about working with them.
The Jags made a big run at Alex Mack last year from Cleveland. Obviously, that didn't happen. What do you think of Luke Boanko? Is he a guy they can build around, you can build around from what you've seen?
I think we're just still looking at it. I think, you know, I think, like I said before, you know, we're not allowed to speak to the players about football playbooks. I have talked to mostly everyone that's here. So at the same time, I just basically what I told them was how excited I was to work with them. So I think it's the same thing. I think it's very difficult to go in there and start saying, hey, we're going to build around them when you never, you know, you haven't worked with them. And they're all young players. So we'll just see where they are. We'll see how the process goes. And then, you know, and see how it pans out.